Fred Film Radio, International Film Festival, Rotterdam, Netherlands.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2020 International Film Festival in Rotterdam, and I'm very pleased to be joined by Ilum Jacobi, who is a filmmaker and presenting the film The Trouble with Nature. Thanks very much for joining us, first of all.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me to this interview.
This film, I mean, I loved it. It's right up my alley. But for the listeners who are not familiar with the film, would you mind maybe saying a few words to introduce it and maybe a little bit about the story or background?
So the film is called The Trouble with Nature. It's a sort of 18th century road movie about a philosopher called Edmund Burke, who's a real person. He wrote a small book about the sublime in 1756, and the film takes place a little bit later in his life, and it's a pure fantasy, what is in the film. He's sort of in a midlife crisis, and he lost his money and colonial investments, and decides to rewrite his little book that he wrote when he was 19. But this time, he's going to go and meet nature. So when he first wrote his book, he just wrote it from his apartment in London. So he embarks on a grand tour of the Alps to find the sublime.
Now, did this really happen?
This is a pure fantasy. Well, I read his book. It's a wonderful book. I mean, it's very naive, and it's also very funny, and it's also very profound in many ways. But I thought there was something interesting about a man who fantasizes about the sublime and where to find it in nature and what effects nature will have on him. Meanwhile, he's never been out of the city, so I thought it would be perfect the scenario or situation to send him out there and kind of test his theories on the real world.
How would you define the word sublime?
Well, I don't know what the sublime is either, and neither does Edmund Burke.
It's like the MacGuffin, I guess.
It is the MacGuffin in many ways. I mean, I think we all have a sense of something sublime. I mean, for me, I spend a great deal of time in nature, so I guess many painters and philosophers have been looking for the sublime. Is it a force in nature? Is it something spiritual, or is it whatever it is, you know? I think maybe the sublime is inside you, and maybe there's an idea in the film at a certain point where the landscapes begin to become inner landscapes. So perhaps the glacier might be out there, but there's also a glacier inside yourself. And only when you discover that inside yourself and connect it to the outer world, that is maybe the sublime, when you manage to make a connection between yourself and the outer world.
You spend a lot of time in nature?
I did, yeah. When I was young, I was climbing mountains and going on long expeditions into the Arctic, the Amazon, and I spent basically 10 years on the road just going to the wilderness.
Do you reckon that had some sort of an impact or influence on your later artistic endeavors?
No, absolutely. Those experiences are very deep in me, but it was very difficult at that time when I was young to share them with other people, because it was, even though it was something very natural, you know, just to take a tent and go to Greenland and sleep out there, it was very hard for people to relate to it. And when I told the stories, what meant something to me necessarily didn't connect with that. And so I think as a filmmaker, that's what I'm going to try and do. I'm going to try and share those experiences with other people. But by finding characters who somehow opens the door to that world.
But there is an idealized idea. Wow, I'm really one with words today.
Yeah.
There's a really idealized idea, or perception, mm-hmm. that might be a better word, that people have about the outdoors, the great outdoors. But it's really interesting to see Burke kind of be like, this is not, having the effect on me that I was hoping for. Yeah. I do quite a lot of traveling myself, but not so outdoors, but I am out in the world.
Yeah.
And many people, when I tell them, have an idealized perception of what I do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something else. It's not necessarily something that's idealized. Maybe it's an inner need.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel that way? I mean, in this film, I do see that the representation of the outdoors is also a bit harsher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of trouble with our relationship to nature, and even my what I've been doing, I'm also questioning why do you try to become one with the wilderness, or what are you actually looking for when you're climbing a mountain? And because it's not very, it doesn't have any benefit to do, you know.
Climbing a mountain.
Yeah, exactly. And again, I think it's actually, for many people, including myself, it's an egoistic pursuit in a way, because you're looking for something inside yourself by going to the outdoors. But, I mean, if you talk about the feelings you get from nature, I think this is very important, because we struggle so much to have true feelings for nature in a way. I mean, we live on the only planet in the entire universe that is inhabitable, and it's falling apart, yet we still struggle to really feel anything. I mean, there's nobody demonstrating in the streets or anything. It's a strange relationship we have with nature, and I think we need to... I talked a little bit about this in the Q&A yesterday, because someone was asking about... In the end of the film, there's a famous David Caspar Friedrich painting, Der Wanderer, with this classic picture of a man who looks into the wilderness. And I think we need to reconsider our relationship to nature.
Yeah. Well, do you think that would be beneficial? Especially because, considering Burke, you know, he was one of the architects of modern capitalism. Yeah. Are you also making a comment on the way capitalist societies work?
Well, maybe, yeah. I mean, the film takes place at the very beginning of the fossil fuel revolution, and this was... He's so, as you've seen in the film, he's very arrogant about, you know, man's being the master of everything. And from there on, that film actually takes place the year the steam engine was invented. And from there on, it's when we said, fuck it, we're going to do whatever we want, wherever we want, and whenever we want, you know. And so there was a departure from nature there. And now we're kind of the end of that fossil fuel path, you know, and then we're going to try and come back. And yeah, for sure. I mean, I think the film is relevant to... I don't think we have a clearer relationship to nature. It's even more distorted today. Because it didn't... Back then it was, in his eyes, you know, it was more, I'm the master, you're the... But now we're... It's much more complex.
Yeah, because, you know, this is the only world that we've got. One of the reasons is. Yeah. So there's nothing we can do about it if the world ends. There's so much that I want to ask you, but I do want to go back to the wilderness aspect of it. I mean, filming of... this film is mostly shot in the outdoors. Mustn't have been easy, perhaps? Or was it challenging to film in the outdoors so much, extensively?
Yeah, it was challenging, but it's also very easy, because there's no locations, there's no... Right. You don't have to carry a dolly up to an apartment or anything. So in that sense, you walked into set. We walked to a lot of the locations, you know, but maybe on the way it would be even better, you know, so we could just stop and film. So there was a great sense of freedom, actually, in shooting the outdoors, and also just following the natural light and not being trying to create something else than there was. But it was almost, I mean, we were very small. We were only three people on the film crew and the two actors.
Cool. That sounds like fun, actually.
Yeah, it was really fun.
So much that I want to ask you. Yeah. You know, the colonialist representation through the two lead characters. Yeah. But I think that if we get into that, we'll be lost. What about this? I don't want to give off the impression that the film is the most serious, kind of hard thing to get through. I think we mentioned earlier that you read one of Burke's works, and you found it to be also to have a sense of humor. I find that his personality is eccentric and a bit obnoxious, but also that the film is carried by the sense of irony that he embodies. I don't know. Did you embrace that? And where do you think humor stands within this film?
Well, I think humor is a very important key to even talk about the sublime, because if you try to, you know, a lot of filmmakers want to convey the sense of drift into the sublime or like a spiritual connection with something. I think if you do it just as a very serious pursuit, I can't do that. It's going to be pathetic. It's going to be boring. So, and I think humor is really the key to understanding both characters and themes, you know, and because as soon as we smile, you know, then we're recognizing what's going on, you know. And
sure.
I think it's a great key to that. And I just rewatched the film last night, and it does start off in a very humorous way, but towards the end of the film, it gets really serious and
very dark.
Yeah, it gets very dark and serious. And I'm very happy with that. I mean, the film kind of did it by itself, you know.
Thank you for taking the time to speak with us about your film. It's a fascinating movie, and I really appreciate you joining us and talking with us about it.
Thank you so much, and please, I'll come back and we'll have a longer talk about this colonization.
It was up to me, you know, we'd go much longer, but anyways, thanks a lot. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.